Good morning, everybody. It was nice what Tien said about putting away your watches. But I looked around me and I saw that I was the only one that put away my watch. We've all come together with singing sublime. But if I want you all happy, I best be done on time. We thank God for allowing us to celebrate with you here at Central. And it's a great privilege for us to just be a part of Central Baptist, our family. And also for us to be a part of partnering with you in starting the work in Owner Support at Kopano Baptist Church. And we met last Sunday and we had 150 out for our Christmas feast. And we had mealy pop, and we had beetroot, and we had pork, and just a great time of eating and fellowshipping together, and then thanking God for His blessing and goodness to our church over this past year. And thank you for your donations. We've had blankets given us from Central Baptist just this last week. We went to Glen Haven, and they gave us some food that we're able to give out to people that are in need in our church. And thank you for your prayers as we partner together in seeing God start a ministry there in our area of Owner Support. This morning, I want to talk with you about the topic of fear from the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. I don't consider myself a real fearful person, so I did an experiment this last week on myself. I decided that I would write down every time that I had this, like, my stomach went, ooh, like this, or I just had this pang of fear that went through my head. I thought I'd write down those times. And man, I couldn't believe it. The list was long. I'm a scaredy cat. I started writing down all the things. I saw a car wreck on the N1, the worst car wreck I've seen. And, you know, your stomach just goes like this and you have this fear inside of you. I was running along the road and I almost stepped on a snake. Well, you know what that, maybe you don't, but that's scary. I was greeting someone and they said, oh, I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. Well, it's a little fear then when you're greeting them. You're just wondering what kind of, you know, disease they're passing along to you. We had 14 kids from the township that came over to our house this last week. And one of them was in the pool and he started to walk in the deep end. And he realized his eyes got big like this as he was looking at me from under the water. So I had to go save him, but there was a little fear, you know, in my heart over that. Part of our roof collapsed this week. It just fell down. And so I'm thinking, oh, no, we have water up in the roof and we have problems. You know, there's this fear that went through my head there. We hit a big pothole. You try doing this. Write down your fears of the week. You'll see you have a big list. I didn't realize how many things. We hit a big pothole. I thought I was going to get a flat tire. One of the puppies yelped. By the way, we're selling 3 puppies. Jack Russell's, if you're interested, talk to my wife. One of the puppies yelped, and I thought, oh, no, it's maimed. You know, and this fear came into my heart. I wondered if I would get my sermon ready for Sunday. I heard a big bang on Friday night. Big bang! And I thought, oh, no, the roof collapsed again. But no, it was Courtney sleepwalking into a closed door. And she just rammed that thing. And I think if you would write down your fears, you would come up with a big list. That's just 1 week for me. I am one big scaredy cat. I told my wife I was thinking about preaching on the fear nots in the book of Matthew this week. And she said, but this is Christmas. Can't you preach a Christmas message? And then last week, Brother Robbins gets up and tells everyone from the pulpit that I am preaching a Christmas message today. And so I thought, how can I make this a Christmas message? And so I came up with something. I can't think of a better Christmas present to give you than to have us realize that we can live our lives in the midst of rolling blackouts. We can live our lives with stolen phone cables. We can live our lives when robbers hold up cash vehicles on the highways with regularity. We can live our lives right now, right here, with absolutely no fear. We can have peace in the midst of the worst storm. We can dare to trust our great God completely. This is a Christmas present from God's Word that you can open and grab a hold of today if you choose to live in the reality of a God-focused existence. All of us have had some kind of encounters with fear, and it's very real to us. Have you ever climbed into a township taxi? Some of you ride in township taxis all the time. Some of you would never think of getting into a township taxi. Some of you have been forced by robbers to give up your jewelry. How many of us have been standing innocently at an ATM machine and all of a sudden we realize there are guys with automatic weapons all around us? You had that? I'm sure you have. I'm not the only one. It's happened to me several times. And you're kind of thinking, well, you know, they're either putting in money in the ATM machine or they're taking out money. You know, that's why they're not. But you think, oh, no, you know. You walk real nice past those guys with the automatic weapons, trying to act like you are totally innocent, which you are, but you acting like you're totally innocent probably makes them suspicious of you. How many of us have come home to realize that someone else has been in your home when you're away? We have fears. We're all humans, and all of us fear at one time or another. But Jesus was human too. Do you think that Jesus ever feared? Do you think he ever did? I don't think he did. I don't think he ever feared. He knew every thought and motive of man. He could not be startled by man or nature. He was in control of nature. Yes, he had a human body just like you and I do, but somehow he was also totally God at the same time. And there is not one instance in Scripture, at least not one instance that I could find, where you find Jesus startled or fearful. For us as humans only, we are frightened often. And I don't think it is wrong to be frightened. The lightning flashes and the thunder sounds and you are startled. You get a tap at the window at a stop street, you are frightened. You lose one kid at the mall, and you are frightened, unless you have seven of them. Jesus was never frightened. He knew all things, so nothing could startle him. Jesus also never lived in fear. Why? He knew the end of all things. And he knew who was in charge of all things, and he trusted the divine orchestrator completely. We do not know all things like Jesus did. But I believe Scripture teaches us that we should not be Christians who are continually bothered by fear. So how can you and I live lives of no fear. In all the instances in the book of Matthew where there is a command to not fear, the same Greek word is used. And that root word is the word phobia. And we have used it today to identify unrealistic fears that people have. Claustrophobia is when someone's afraid of being in tight places. Some phobias that you might not know the names for. Hmophobia. That's the fear of sharp instruments. I have that. Do you? Hmophobia. I'm afraid of sharp instruments, especially needles. Allurophobia. Some of you might have this. The fear of cats. Allurophobia. How about erythrophobia? The fear of blushing. But in the original usage, and in our usage of the word fear today, there is a real reason, there's a real cause behind why we are fearful. You fear township taxis because many of them are falling apart. You fear robbers because they have guns. You fear a puncture late at night because that's when bad people do bad things. There are reasons for our fears. But do those reasons justify our fear in light of a Christian's belief in God's sovereignty? His total control. His total orchestration of all events for His glory. I would like us to look at five instances in the book of Matthew, and we're going to be quick. I'll get out my watch. Where there is a command not to fear. And by the end of this message, I would like you to be able to go home with a Christmas present of no fear. What a great Christmas present that would be. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. And let's read verses 18 through 21. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Joseph had the fear of doing something morally wrong. He is said here to be a just man. And that moral rightness within him caused him to consider, and actually that is a stronger word than just the word that we say for consider. It's actually he made up his mind to put away, to divorce Mary, who he was committed to in betrothal. He feared to take Mary as his wife. Why? She was going to have a baby and he wasn't the father. And how could he justify such a thing before a holy God? And so he's going to divorce her, put her away quietly. Have you ever been in a position of wondering if something is morally right or not. And you get a little fearful. I was trying to think in my life when that happened. I came up with two instances. I hope it relates. Someone starts telling a joke. And you wonder, I wonder if I should continue to listen to this or not. I wonder if it's morally right for me to hear the rest of the joke. You wonder in your mind if it's morally right for you to continue to listen. How about this one? You're an American. Pretend. You're an American. And you come to South Africa and you sit down at your friend's table and they serve you ginger beer. Okay. It helps when someone comes along that you trust and that person says, hey, the ginger beer may not taste the greatest, but it's not alcoholic. You can drink it. Okay. You feel better inside. Or it helps when someone says, hey, someone you trust, I know this joke. It's okay. It's a good one. Makes you feel better. Jesus could not be merely human with a dad and mom like you and I have. If he had a dad and mom like the rest of us, he could be a good teacher. He could be a good person. But never be the sinless Savior who could pay with his death our sin debt. We need a Messiah. We need God. God with us. That's what we need. So the angel of the Lord tells Joseph, do not fear moral wrongness in your act of taking Mary as your wife. God did a miracle. God is now with us through the person of Jesus. And it is not morally wrong for you to take Mary as your wife. Do not fear. Do not fear. What a joy it is to know from God, from God's Word, what is morally acceptable before Him and what is not. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, if you would. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 says, behold, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And then let's look over to verse 26. So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. The disciples were going out in perilous times. They would be betrayed by their families. They would be hated. They would be called satanic people. They would be brought before governors and before kings. And they would be scourged and whipped. And all of this would happen to them because they were doing what Jesus told them to do. They were telling the truth. I don't like it when people hate me. Do you? I don't like it when people mistreat me. I would assume that you don't either. But we as believers have a higher commitment than just doing what we want to do or what we'd like to do or what is convenient to us or what is comfy for us. Someone said, comfort makes cowards of us all. So many times that's true. We have a higher calling. Jonathan Edwards, he wrote this. He said, "I claim no right to myself, no right to this understanding, this will, these affections that are in me. Neither do I have any right to this body or its members. No right to this tongue, to these hands, feet, ears, or eyes. I have given myself clear away and not retained anything of my own." We are to allow no fear of man to hinder our singular focus on glorifying the King of Kings. Florence Nightingale, she wrote in her diary, "I am 30 years of age, the age at which Christ began His mission. Now, no more childish things. No more vain things." The Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear. And if you and I have love for Jesus like we should, and love for others as we should, there will be no fear in telling the truth. In love. Even if it means it's not accepted. Because we want others to understand. We want others to know that which is true. It is for their benefit. It is out of love that we tell them the truth. It is something they must deal with at some time or another, and better to deal with it now. Because the passage says that God someday, "I will reveal the truth in the end," the passage says. I will reveal it. The right will win. The world's evil will be shown for what it is. The believer's righteousness will be declared before all people. Truth will be brought to light. So if that's true, don't hide it now. If truth will someday be brought to life, don't whisper it now. Declare it. Tell the truth. Reveal the truth without fear, in love. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says this, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Wow. That's a big command. Do not kill those. Do not fear those who would kill the body. Does anyone actually live that way? The Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me." What things are you talking about, Paul? He is talking about the plotting of the Jews to kill him. None of those things move me. He is talking about the prison, the affliction that he went through. None of these things, Paul says, move me. Neither count I my life as precious to myself, as dear unto myself. The Apostle Paul had his eyes on bigger things than just preserving his life. Paul was more concerned with finishing the course God had given him to do, completing the ministry of giving out the gospel. "For to me," Paul says, "to live is Christ." That's what I'm all about. "But to die is gain, because I see Him, I'm with Him, and it's Christ again if I die." Paul says, "I have a desire." He's really living this way. He says, "I have a desire to depart." That's to die. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Wow. The closest I can get in our present context to someone who would kill me in person is someone who willfully gets into a car while they're drunk and they drive down the road. But here we are talking about killing people because of their faith in Jesus. You're telling the truth for the purpose of their eternal good, and they refuse to listen to the extent of killing the one trying to sincerely help them. When a man named Hugh Latimer, many years ago, when Hugh Latimer was preaching one day in the presence of King Henry VIII, he reports that he said to himself, "Latimer, Latimer, remember that the king is here. Be careful what you say." Then he rebukes himself and he said, "Latimer, Latimer, remember that the King of Kings is here. Be careful what you do not say." And Latimer was eventually burned at the stake for his faithfulness in proclaiming the truth. "Don't worry, do not fear," Jesus says, "for they cannot kill your soul, which is eternal. The soul is far more valuable than the temporary body." So a faithfulness to Christ demands it. The disciple of Jesus will gladly sacrifice the corruptible body, because after that, there is nothing more that they can do. There is nothing more. Can we actually have no fear of someone who would come up to us and kill us? This is a command. There is no option for us. This is a command. Jesus tells you, Jesus tells me, do not fear someone who can kill your body. It is an imperative command. We are to literally, actually have no fear of those who would kill us. This is not radical Christianity. This is real Christianity. This is real. It is living with the reality of the truth of what God says deep in your heart. God says it. Are we going to live that way? Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Back in Jesus' day, you could buy two small little sparrows for the smallest coin in circulation, a cent. That is 1/16 of the average daily pay for a worker, for a laborer. So, you could work all day as a laborer, get paid, and you could buy 32 sparrows. Now, there's another place in the Bible you could actually buy more, because there's another place where it says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? So what would happen is, if you bought an extra 2 sparrows, they would throw a fifth one in the bargain. You get 5 sparrows for the price of 4. According to one commentary, I never realized this, roasted sparrows were often served as cheap finger food. How'd you like to eat a roasted sparrow? A sparrow was of little value to the average person. And yet Jesus says that even if one of these insignificant millions of sparrows, if one of these insignificant millions of sparrows, just one of them, were to fall on the ground, Jesus knows about that sparrow. How many of you ever seen the TV show Survivor? Raise your hand. I want to see. Pretty much everybody. You know what Exile Island is then. Okay, if you are thrown on Exile Island, you are isolated from everybody. You're out on this little island with nothing, basically. No shelter, no food. You are forgotten and you are alone. Sometimes that's how we feel. We may feel like we are on Exile Island, all by ourselves, forgotten by others, insignificant to the world, of no value. But that is not true. God values you so much, He knows your exact hair count. And for some of you, that's not too significant either. There's not many hairs up there. But He has promised to provide for our every need. He has provided you with all things for life and godliness. He has redeemed you. He has given you an eternal purpose of glorifying Him with your short earth time. And you are not to concern yourself with food, with raiment, with shelter, because God cares for the sparrows, every insignificant one of them. God cares for the sparrows, and He will surely care for you. Do not fear. The last type of fear that I want us to look at is probably the one most of us are familiar with, and it is the fear that we have when we are startled by something. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. In Matthew 14, the disciples are in a boat in the midst of a storm. And they see Jesus walking on the water and they are afraid. Jesus says, verse 27, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5 and verse number 10. Some women, they're coming to the tomb on Sunday morning. And they saw an angel, and it says this angel had the appearance of lightning. Can you imagine that? The angel with the appearance of lightning. And it says they were afraid. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell His disciples He is risen from the dead." And as they were going, Jesus met them and He says to them, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Zacharias, you know the Christmas story. Zacharias, as he is burning incense in the temple of the Lord, he's startled by the angel of the Lord, and it says that fear fell upon him when he saw the angel. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John." Luke chapter 2. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We cannot help being startled sometimes, just as all these people we read about were startled. But it is interesting to look at the response called for in each of these instances. Jesus says, fear not, to the disciples in the boat as the storm is raging. Jesus says, fear not, it is I. Fear not, the angel said to the women as they come to the tomb and see the angel with the lightning. Fear not, he is risen. He is risen. Fear not, the angel said to Zacharias, you will have a son. Fear not, the angel said to the shepherds, this day the Messiah is born. And in all these instances, God is saying, I am at work in a mighty way. Do not fear. I am at work. And I can be assured that when God sovereignly allows things into my life that startle me, that shake me, that cause me to quake, in all my ways, I can acknowledge Him. I can say, God, You are in charge. You are in total control. I can cast my burdens upon Him. I cannot continue in fear, for He has promised to never leave me, never forsake me, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Have you ever seen on a bumper sticker, on the back of a Bucky, the words, no fear? And usually there's some eyes by it, you know, some mean eyes, and it says, no fear. What God commands is not this type of self-reliant, cocky boasting of not being afraid of anything because you are so tough. That's not what is commanded here. That is a lie. There is no such thing as that kind of no fear. We fear not because we totally rest in the fact that God has everything under control. He has everything under control, not us. The delegates in Polokwane are not in charge of the future direction of this nation. God is ultimately working. He is in charge of raising up. He is in charge of putting down as He wills, and man is not in charge. Wall Street, NASDAQ, the Dow Jones is not in control. The police may not respond as quickly as you would like. The roads may be littered this holiday season with drunk people. You may have to continue to eat your meals in the dark. But be assured, God is working out His divine plan. He has all things under control. Man is helpless to alter God's sovereign plans, so I need not fear. I hope you open your Christmas present from God's Word this morning of no fear. But if you have not personally believed on Jesus, you have every reason to fear. Every reason to fear this Christmas. For you are standing at the edge of a chasm of eternal darkness and separation from a holy God, and there is no Merry Christmas for you. There may be the temporary happiness of a tinseled tree or a glittering present, but it is short-lived. Reality for someone without Christ is coming judgment, eternal punishment, and everlasting torment. So if that's you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and you shall be saved. Believe on Jesus. And believer, if you are living in the reality of a God-focused, earthly perspective, I just invite you to open your Christmas present and live your life in the freedom of having no fear. Let's pray together. God, you have made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who came as a baby, was born in a manger, lived on this earth, went to a cross, and became sin for us, so that we can be made the righteousness of God because of him. So God, we rejoice in the fact that the greatest, greatest, wonderful thing that could happen is that our sins have been paid for because of Jesus and his shed blood on the cross for us. We can have no fear for our coming punishment for our sins. Jesus has paid it all. All to him we owe. And if that's true, that all to you we owe, I pray that we would not hold back. The pouring out of our lives are not for ourselves, are not for our own convenience, our own pleasures, our own safety, our own self-preservation. It's all about pouring ourselves out for you who died for us and rose again, that whether we live or die, we may please you with all our lives. May our lives be lived in the reality that you are in charge, you are in control, and we need not fear. In Jesus' name, amen.